Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. If you haven't looked us up by now, I hope you do. We're at 106 Western Springs Road. Well, today's program is going to be a little bit eclectic because I have things that I want to talk about that don't necessarily connect to each other. But I want to share with you, the main focus today is going to be a book, or writing rather, from the early church called the Didache. It's pronounced in English Didache. In Greek we would pronounce it Didache, Didache, the teaching. And the Didache means the teaching. And it's reference to the teaching of the 12 apostles, a early first century document. Some dating it as early as 70 AD, some as early as 80 AD, others 90 AD. So you take your pick, but the point is that Christ's death is at 33 AD, so this is a very early document of the church. We don't have time to read the whole thing today, but I do want to share some of it with you. But as you know how our program goes, we want to start you with a little bit of music. That was Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal in the Aramaic language. Have you ever heard that before? I hadn't. Well, I've obviously listened to the CD before, but quite unusual, quite unusual. And very appropriate as we are opening this book called the Didache, the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. Now, have you ever heard of the Didache? Did you know that such a book existed? One of those things when you go to seminary, you find out about, and you say, oh my goodness. And here's the official full title, Teaching of the 12 Apostles, an Instruction of the Lord Given to the Heathen, that means to the nations, by the way, by the 12 Apostles. We often hear the word heathen, we think those without God, but the Greek word is ethne. Ethne just means the nations, those who are not the Jewish nation, all the rest of the nations. So it's not a pejorative in Greek. It may be in English. So let's continue now. It begins with chapter 1. Two ways there are, one of life, one of death. And there is a great difference between the two ways. Now the way of life is this. First, love the God who made you. Secondly, your neighbor as yourself. Do not do to another what you do not wish to be done to yourself. The lesson of these words is as follows. Now, I'm continuing to read, so don't think that I'm interjecting anything. I'm not. Bless those that curse you and pray for your enemies. Besides, fast for those that persecute you. For what thanks do you deserve when you love those that love you? Do not the heathen do as much? For your part, love those that hate you. In fact, have no enemy. Abstain from gratifying the carnal and bodily impulses. When anyone gives you a blow on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well, and be perfect. When anyone forces you to go 1 mile with him, go 2 with him. When anyone takes your cloak away, give him your coat also. When anyone robs you of your property, demand no return. You really cannot do it. Give to anyone that asks you and demand no return. The Father wants his own bounties to be shared with all. Happy the giver who complies with the commandment, for he goes unpunished. Trouble is in store for the receiver. If someone who is in need receives, he will go unpunished. But if he who is not in need, will have to stand trial as to why and for what purpose he received. And if he is thrown into prison, he will be questioned about his conduct, and he will not be released from that place until he has paid the last penny. However, in this regard, there is also word of Scripture, let your alms sweat in your hands until you find out to whom to give. Now, I think you're going to see, as I do, that this is an echoing of many of the sacred passages of Scripture, especially in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But still, it's something a little different, something we've never heard before, because it's written in a way a little bit fresh, a little bit new. I wish we had time to listen to the whole song. This is Adria Saad, Lead On, Kindly Light, and maybe we'll play a little bit more of it later in today's program. But I want to continue now with the reading from the Didache, the teaching of the 12 apostles from the first century of Christianity, chapter 2. A further commandment of the teaching, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not practice pederasty, in other words, to sleep with children. Do not fornicate, do not steal, do not deal in magic, do not practice sorcery, do not kill a fetus by abortion or commit infanticide, do not covet your neighbor's goods, do not perjure yourself, do not bear false witness, do not calumniate, do not bear malice, do not be double-minded or double-tongued, for a double tongue is a deadly snare. Your speech must not be false or meaningless, but made good by action. Do not be covetous, or rapacious, or hypocritical, or malicious, or arrogant. Do not have designs upon your neighbor. Hate no man, but correct some. Pray for others, for still others sacrifice your life as a proof of your love. That's chapter 2. So we think of the Ten Commandments, this is a much more comprehensive list, of course, and what we find in the Ten Commandments, and many, many things that, of course, the Ten Commandments allude to, but spelled out here. And interesting what in what it mentions, and interesting also in what it doesn't mention. Chapter 3. My child, shun evil of any kind and everything resembling it. Do not be prone to anger, for anger leads to murder. Do not be fanatical, nor quarrelsome, nor hot-tempered, for all these things beget murder. My child, do not be lustful, for lust leads to fornication. Do not be foul-mouthed, or give free rein to your eyes, for all these things beget adultery. My child, do not be an augur, because it leads to idolatry. In other words, an augur is someone who, fortune teller. Do not be an enchanter, not an astrologer, not an expiator, and do not wish to see and hear these things, for they all beget idolatry. My child, do not be a liar, for lying leads to theft. Do not be a lover of money, or a vain pretender. All these things beget thievery. My child, do not be a grumbler, because it leads to blasphemy, or self-willed, or evil-minded. All these things beget blasphemy. On the contrary, be gentle, for the gentle will inherit the land. Be long-suffering, and merciful, and guileless, and quiet, and good, with trembling treasure forever, with trembling treasure forever the instructions you have received. Do not carry your head high or open your heart to presumption. Do not be on intimate terms with the mighty. That's an interesting point. But associate with the holy and lowly folk. Accept as blessings the casualties that befall you, assured that nothing happens without God. Again, that's Audrey Assad. We listened to quite a bit of her music here. In fact, I think just last week or the week before that we played that same song, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Continuing now, the Lida K, as we do. My child, day and night, remember him who preaches God's word to you, and honor him as the Lord. For where his lordship is spoken of, there is the Lord. Seek daily contact with the saints to be refreshed by their discourses. Do not start a schism, but pacify contending parties. Be just in your judgment. Make no distinction between man and man when correcting transgressions. Do not waver in your decision. do not be one that opens his hands to receive, but shuts them when it comes to giving. If you have means at your disposal, pay a ransom for your sins. Here he means, of course, that you, by giving, you cover your sins. And not that we can pay for our sins, but it's a way to think of ourselves as, in a sense, being thankful for what God is giving us and forgiving us by showing equal generosity to those in need. Do not hesitate to give, and do not give in a grumbling mood. You will find out who is the good rewarder, meaning Christ. Do not turn away from the needy. Rather, share everything that you with your brother. Do not say, it is private property. If you are sharers in what is imperishable, how much more in the things that perish? Do not withdraw your hand from your son or your daughter. In other words, keep your hand out to them, reach out your hand to them. But from their youth, teach them the fear of God. Do not be embittered. Give orders to your slave. No, this is careful. Do not be when embittered. Do not, when embittered, give orders to your slave, male or female. So you should never speak to your slave in anger. For they hope in the same God. Interesting. Otherwise, they might lose the fear of God, who is the master of both of you. He surely is not coming to call with an eye to rank and station life. In other words, he's not going to treat the slave worse than he treats you. No, he comes to those whom the Spirit has prepared. But you, slaves, be submissive to your masters as to God's image in reverence and fear. A little more of Adriaan there. Abhor all sham, and whatever is not pleasing to the Lord. Do not by any means neglect the commandments of the Lord, but hold fast to the traditions, neither adding nor subtracting anything. In church, confess your sins, and do not come to your prayer with a guilty conscience. Such is the way of life. So now we've finished four of the short chapters of the Didache, and he has told us about the way of life. And what a positive message it is, even if it is a message of staying away from sin. We can think of that as a negative, of course, but when we realize that staying away from sin is a positive, then maybe it can change our way of thinking about sin and our way of thinking about life. Choose good things, dear listeners. That's what God is always telling us. Choose good, and good will abound in our lives. Whereas if we choose evil, evil will abound in our life, and that's not a happy thing at all. So I like this passage of the Didache. I think that hopefully you enjoyed it too, because it shows that the early church was concerned with many, many things, not just with moral purity, although they did certainly hope for that, but even with something as simple as choosing your words carefully and not being a hypocritical person. He said, if you might be have your hand out to receive, but also open your hand to give. You know, don't be hypocritical. And also it points out something else very interesting, how one sin can lead to another. It tells us not, for instance, to have to speak profanity, because it can lead to adultery. Can you imagine? So it's a very interesting perspective on sin, and one that I think continues in the life of the church till today. Although I would say that maybe in some of those situations the concepts are developed a little bit more in the life of the church. So this is at a kind of very primitive beginning level that we're looking at these things. But nonetheless, the same themes echo through the life of the church again and again. So that's the Didache, and we've read now the first portion. I want to read you now just a little bit of the second portion, which is called The Way of Death. The Way of Death is this. First of all, it is wicked and altogether cursed. Murders, adulteries, lustful desires, fornication, thefts, idolatries, magical arts, sorceries, robberies, false testimonies, hypocrisy, duplicity, fraud, pride, malice, surliness, that's where you are easily provoked to anger, covetousness, foul talk, jealousy, rashness, haughtiness, false pretensions, the lack of the fear of God. It is the way of persecutors of the good, haters of the truth, lovers of falsehood, of men ignorant of the reward for right living, not devoted to what is good or to just judgment, intent upon not what is good but what is evil, of strangers to gentleness and patient endurance, of men who love vanities and fee hunters, of men that have no heart for the poor and are not concerned about the oppressed, do not know their maker, of murderers of children, destroyers of God's image, of men that turn away from the needy, oppress the afflicted, act as counsels for the rich, are unjust judges of the poor, in a word, of men steeped in sin. Children, may you be preserved from all of this. So, this sounds a lot like some things that we see in our world today, of course, and they've been with human beings for a long time, but we always think the world's getting worse, but maybe it's always been difficult. But that's why it's so important to choose goodness. And then he continues, see that no man leads you astray from the way of the teaching, the didache, in other words, since any other teaching takes you away from God. Surely, if you are able to bear the Lord's yoke in its entirety, you will be perfect. If you are not able, then do what you can. Isn't that lovely? And in the matters of food, do what you can stand. But be scrupulous on your guard against meat offered to idols, for that is the worship of dead gods. That was Bebo Norman. And what a beautiful work he does there, his beautiful singing. I sing of your glory now. And if you listen to the words, he doesn't paint an idealized picture of life. And I think that's important. You know, we Christians, sometimes we're accused of being Pollyannish, that we just we see everything in a positive way, and somehow people accuse us of not living in reality. And, you know, that's a criticism well taken. But you don't see that in the songs of Bebo Norman or in the songs of Audrey Sod. Instead, you see people who are reflecting very clearly the difficulties of life and trying to keep their faith and actually keeping their faith in the midst of those trials. And I guess that's why we like their music on this radio program, because that's the same thing you'll find in the hymns of the church. The church never tries to sugarcoat life in any way, but talks instead about this life very plainly and its challenges very plainly, but also always resonating with the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of the resurrection. Now, if you'll allow me to read to you a passage from the scripture, and this is from the book of Psalms, just the chapter 41, chapter 41, 42. As the deer longs for the springs of waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? My tears were my bread, day and night, when they said to me each day, Where is your God? I remembered these things and poured out my soul within me. For I shall enter the place of the wondrous tabernacle, even the house of God, to celebrate a festival with a voice of great joy and praise. Why are you so sad, O my soul, and why do you trouble me? Hope in God, for I will give thanks to him. My God is the salvation of my countenance. That's a very beautiful, beautiful psalm. It goes on, of course, but it kind of underlines this point that we're just making. It true hymnody doesn't sugarcoat the pains that we've experienced, but nonetheless gives light and life and hope to God.
But it can't undo the tears we've cried and all the words we say that don't matter anyway, just weapons of war and shame, untrue and tried. So I won't say anything when the silence is threatening. There are miracles still unseen. We are wine from water. In the clearing dust is a fragile trust, the worst and the best of us that we can't hide.
As we come to the end of today's program, again, that was Bebo Norman, Water, Wine from Water, his song Wine from Water. I want to put a shout out to my sister-in-law Katina. We've heard her music on this program many times, and hopefully we'll hear it again many more times. But I expressed to her and to her whole family our love and our prayer for her as her ending of this earthly life approaches. She's dearly loved by all of us, and we ask God to keep her always in his care. And as he sent his, as Christ himself descended from heaven and received the soul of his mother, may he send holy angels to receive her soul at the time appointed by him.